In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. I am so glad you could join us for our journey through the book of Exodus. We have journeyed halfway through. We are in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, and we're going to begin to explore each of these commandments in our series. Now, just before we get started, let me just review the first couple verses to kind of situate ourselves in the text. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 2, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And I love the way this passage starts off, stressing that they have been redeemed from a terrible slave master, Pharaoh, who had kept them in bondage for 430 years. And now God has delivered them. And as they enter a relationship with God, he instructs them how they, an unholy people, can relate to a holy God. And so we said last time that the Ten Commandments are not the means of salvation, but they're the result of how we behave because of our salvation. And this is so important. Now, there's 10 commandments. You may be wondering, why 10? Well, 10 is a significant number, and I find it fascinating how it repeats throughout scriptures. For example, did you know that the 10 words of creation in Genesis 1, when God says, literally God said, it split in two sets of five. The first five deal with the inanimate things that God created. Light, firmament divides the waters. Waters and dry land divided, seeds and light divides night and day. These are inanimate things. But then the second five, and God said, or God let there be, is dealing with the animate things. Genesis 1:20, creatures above the sky and below the water, land creatures, man placed over dominion, be fruitful, and a division of what to eat. This is pretty neat. Now, we also realize that Noah, for example, was the 10th generation of men. And then God flooded the world, rescuing him, his wife, three kids, and their three wives. And that's eight people in all. Did you know that in Psalm 119, there are 10 different words describing God's word? There's the word way, derech in Hebrew, law, Torah, testimonies, eduth, precepts, pikkadim, statutes, hak or hukah, commandments, mizvah, judgments, mishpat, word, imrah, word or words, dabar, and righteousness, sadiq. So 10 again represents completeness. It's a divine order. Psalm 150, the last psalm of the Psalms, 10 commands to praise. As you recall, there were 10 plagues in Egypt. Israel, as we're going to see, are going to have 10 tests that they're going to fail, resulting in their punishment to remain and die in the wilderness. The Lord's Prayer has 10 phrases. The Antichrist will have 10 kingdoms. So 10 is a number that is quite significant in the scriptures and represents a divine order, but also completeness. Now, one of the things that may be confusing, depending who you are in our audience, is that different groups organize or group the Ten Commandments differently. Now, they all have the Ten Commandments in their scriptures, but the way they organize it slightly different. So in the Jewish text, they'll put commandment one, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then commandment two includes you shall have no other gods. All right. And then you shall not make yourself the carved image. So they combine those two. And then the fourth commandment is the Sabbath, etc. Now, the Reformed or Protestant, we see as I am the Lord your God as a preamble. And therefore, the first commandment is you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, an idol. And the third commandment is you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. So it's different from the Jewish one in that we consider the first verse, I'm the Lord your God, as a preamble, not the first commandment. And then the Catholics and the Lutherans, they break it down a little bit different too. They take the first four verses and make that one commandment. So I'm the Lord your God is part of the first commandment. It's not a preamble. And then they say you shall have no other gods. That's still included in the first commandment. And you shall not make yourself idols. That's still part of the first commandment. Then the way they break it up is you go to the last commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor covet your neighbor's wife, male, female servant, etc., that's split into two verses or two commands. So all the passages are included, but the way each one breaks it apart is slightly different. Now let's begin with commandment number one, the foundation to the other nine. Now there's a technical term I want to introduce you to. It's called heterosis, and it means to exchange one form for another. It's actually a grammatical term. Now the reason I'm mentioning this is all the main verbs in the Ten Commandments have the force of an imperative. That is, they have a force of a command, but they are technically not imperatives grammatically. This is where the heterosis comes into play. The Ten Commandments are more than ten commands. They are facts that cannot be disputed. That's why they're not coming through grammatically as an imperative. I would go so far to say that they are eternal truths reflecting the character and nature of God. They are relational and provide a framework for loving God and loving your neighbor. So the heterosis is to say we're making an exchange here of grammatical terms. We're going, it's functioning as a command, but it's not grammatically as a command. It's functioning as facts as well as commands. You see the exchange there? The two are kind of happening at once. So when you look at the Ten Commandments, don't strictly look them at the most narrow sense as a command. They're actually truths. They are facts. They are reflecting the character and nature of who God is. Now, let's continue with verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. This is foundational. Now, it turns out the commands are repeated in other verses. In fact, Deuteronomy 5:7, you'll see the Ten Commandments repeated there. So on occasion, we'll look at that if there is any difference. But in this case, Deuteronomy 5:7, it's identical to Exodus 23. Now, the idea before me, have no other gods before me, means to my face. Idiomatically, it means, and this is an incredible expression, taking a second wife while the first is still alive. That's the picture behind no other gods before me. And it really is a great understanding of this commandment because this is the issue. To have another god while you are claiming to love and know the true God is the same as a husband who takes a second wife. It's spiritual adultery compared to physical adultery. And that's exactly what God does not want. He wants your soul devotion. This is monotheism. One God and no other gods. It's exclusivity. Now, this goes on and has many applications to eliminate other possibilities. It's not first of many gods. That would be inappropriate. It's not a pantheon of gods. There's no hierarchy of gods. And there's no recognition of any other so-called god or gods. In other words, there is no rivals. And so let me ask you, is there something in your life that you love that rivals your love for God? This is the heart of the commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And there's a reason why this is foundational, because everything else flows from this. God is your owner, redeemer, creator, sustainer. He is your God, and there is no other that ever should come before him. The implication is that there are other beings, angels, for example, which could be worshipped but must never be worshipped. Colossians 2:18, Paul writes, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into the things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase as from God." What a beautiful picture. That when we have other rivals, we are being cheated of our reward. Now, there's some additional insights on this passage from other perspectives in the scriptures. Exodus 15:11, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" There's a reason why God should have no rivals, because there is no one like him. Exodus 34:14, "For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord your God, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. There can be no rivals because God is a jealous God, and that's a holy jealousy. But look at it from God's side. He loves you with a jealous love. That's the kind of affection he has for you. He has no other rivals. He loves you exclusively. Deuteronomy 6:14, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. There is a temptation, and Israel saw it, and they failed on multiple occasions. They embraced the false gods in the land of Canaan, and it brought them terrible judgment. Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall be not found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. This is equivalent to modern day abortion, killing your children. Or one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer. Do you see how they're going to other people, other false gods? They are seeking something other than God. These are dangerous rivals. Joshua 24:18. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Here they are coming into the land, and Joshua has to rebuke them for the idols that they have. But the people have a willing heart, and they desire, and it's a good desire, to have no other rivals but the Lord himself. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Another picture of just how incredible a privilege it is to worship the true God, the beauty of holiness. Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Oh, that is an important truth. If you're single right now, is that true for you? Or is finding a mate more important than your worship of the Lord? Psalm 81:9, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. Isaiah 45:22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. That is the gospel right there. Even in the New Testament, we have passages like this to remind us of these great truths. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and even one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. So as we wrap up this first commandment, examine your heart and see if there are rivals to all the affections that are owed and deserved to God who has redeemed you. And if there is affections that do not belong, repent of those, confess those, and God will be faithful to forgive you. Well, thanks for joining us for this week, and may you walk closely with the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.